SBS in deutscher Sprache.
Kasim Eid, herzlich willkommen.
Dankeschön. Thank you so much for having me.
Wie ich schon erwähnte, Sie sind ein Menschenrechtsaktivist. Was genau wollen Sie mit Ihrem Buch bezwecken? Sind es bloß Memoiren, mit denen Sie Ihre Vergangenheit bewältigen wollen? Oder ist es Teil einer Strategie in Ihrem Kampf gegen das Assad-Regime? Ist die Revolution noch nicht vorbei?
Actually, I wrote this memoir in the beginning as a therapy. Because after surviving war and massacre, especially the chemical massacre, and then leaving Syria, I had this overwhelming feeling of guilt that I actually made it alive while a lot of people got killed. A lot of good people that I know, good friends, who just didn't have the chance or the privilege of safety. And I also wrote this memoir to tell the world about the cruelty and the brutality of war and genocide. And I also wanted people to know the truth about what happened. In my memoir, I talk about life before the revolution. I start since I was born in Syria. And I try to explain to people what actually got us into the revolution and how things got really bad. I wrote this book so the truth will not be forgotten. And all those heroes that people will never know their names won't be forgotten. Because like I said, a lot of brave and noble people, people way better than me, didn't get the chance to actually live and tell their stories while I did. So I'm doing this for them. I'm obligated to keep fighting for them because war criminals should not escape punishment.
So Sie sagen, sei eine Therapie, das Buch in erster Linie. In zweiter Linie aber doch ein Buch als Strategie im Kampf gegen Assads Regime. Ist das so?
Of course, because books are a way of documenting history. And we are living in a time when there's literally a war against truth. There's a lot of propaganda, not just in the Syrian conflict, in a lot of conflicts in Europe. In the United States, we saw how fake news, if we're going to call this as a new term, played a key role in getting a lot of bad people to power. Rather in America, in Europe, in Germany, in Austria, in Italy, and in Syria, we suffered from this propaganda for a long time. So, of course, it's a part of the strategy of fighting against dictators. Because the truth, if people don't stand up for it, at the end, it's going to become normal to just keep hearing lies and try to accept that this is opinion. You can have opinions over soccer, you can have opinions over food, but you can't have opinions against the truth, against facts, against war criminals who are committing genocide, who are gassing civilians, raping women, torturing people to death, killing more than 1 million people and displacing half of the citizens, and then have a different opinion about what's the right thing to do. The right thing to do is to bring the war criminals into justice.
War dieser Krieg ein Auslöser? Waren Sie schon vorher ein Kämpfer oder erst durch diese schrecklichen Erlebnisse sind Sie zu dem geworden, was Sie jetzt sind?
War is a very horrible thing. Of course, I'm a completely different person after the war. I never thought that one day I'm gonna wake up and see our own government bombing us with airplanes and tanks and chemical weapons. I never thought that the international community, who held all those high principles of freedom and democracy and human rights, will turn out to be nothing but bullshit. I never thought that one day I will have to pick up a gun and defend myself and my friends against our own government troops who just gassed us with sarin gas and trying to come inside and butcher us with knives. I never thought that I'm gonna walk one day into my own neighborhood and see our own troops raping women in front of me, or butchering people with knives, or burning people alive. I'm talking about our government a long time before ISIS was created. I'm talking about this unbelievable reality that I found myself facing, not just me, the entire Syrian people. I had to somehow adapt and change. I had to somehow find the strength inside me to keep going, because I watched a lot of good people, brave people, surrender to despair. Because when you lose hope, you have nothing. I had to change. I had to keep fighting because I'm obligated, because someone should stand up for others.
Der Nahe Osten ist ein komplizierter Ort, wenn man das so bezeichnen darf. Über viele, viele Jahre gab es dort Kriege. Sollte die internationale Gemeinschaft sich da raushalten, oder haben Sie eine andere Lösung?
This is a very good question, because most people don't understand that most of the problems, or perhaps all of it, started almost 100 years ago, when a French diplomat and a British diplomat decided to get drunk and start drawing lines on the map in the Middle East after the Ottoman Empire was defeated. They drew lines that became borders that split the people in the Middle East and in the Arab world into small countries that never existed. If you look at the history, you will see most of those conflicts started from back then, because those artificial borders that never existed. For example, my father used to be, he's from Palestine. They got kicked out in 1948. My father had to leave to from Palestine to Syria, while my mom's family had to leave from Palestine to Jordan, which in before they were all the same country. So is Lebanon. There was never Palestine, Jordan, Lebanon, Syria. It was just the Levant. So my mother got Jordanian citizenship, and all my uncles live in Jordan, while my father and his family live in Syria and became Palestinian Syrian refugees. I was never able to, me and my family were not able to go to Jordan or visit anybody in Jordan, because we needed to have a visa to visit my own mother, who lives 1 hour away from where I live in Damascus. When I visited Jordan in 2008, my uncle literally had to put his own house into mortgage and make a lot of briberies to Jordanian officials so I can just get a visa for 1 month to go visit my family, my own mother, my own uncles, who are living 1 hour away from us. So I know the Middle East is a very complicated place, but again, Syria, especially Damascus, it's the oldest capital in history. We know civilization for thousands of years. Muslims, Christians, and Jews, and a lot of people from different ethnic and religious backgrounds lived together in harmony in the Middle East. But when people have selective memories, they like to remember what they like, and they like to forget what they don't want to remember. So I really hope when people look at the Middle East, I hope they will take a little bit of time to look back at the history and try to understand how we got here.
Sie sind dann nach Deutschland geflüchtet und leben jetzt dort. Fühlen Sie sich sicher und willkommen in diesem Land?
I left Syria in 2014. I went to the United States first. I spent 2 years going from the White House to Congress to the Senate. I went to the United Nations Security Council and I testified about the war crimes in Syria, especially the chemical massacre. And I decided to leave the United States in 2016 after I lost any hope of the United States actually doing the right thing, especially back then, President Obama. And in the same time, I was one of the few people, perhaps, who were expecting Trump election. I was telling my friends that I think he's going to become president, and no one believed me. And unfortunately, I was right. I left the United States in 2016 out of desperation because I just couldn't take the bullshit. I went to Germany because my siblings are there, and the German government and the German people were very generous and very kind to hundreds of thousands of refugees. I went to Germany, and I'm living currently in Sachsen-Anhalt, in Magdeburg. German people are very kind, they're very nice. The German government is trying their best to help. But in the same time, I've seen a lot of racism in Germany, perhaps a lot more than I've seen in the States. Especially in Sachsen-Anhalt, where the AfD, Alternative for Deutschland, got to power. In fact, I actually made a bet with my Deutsch teacher during my B1 course before, like a couple of weeks before the elections in Germany. And I told her that I expect the AfD, they're going to win. And she said, you know, you're new here, there's no way, hell will freeze first. I was like, hell already froze in the States, and I think it's going to freeze here. Unfortunately, I was right. The AfD got to power. In Sachsen-Anhalt, there's a systematic effort by the AfD to make the refugees' life as hard as possible. It's very hard for us to find a job in Sachsen. Sachsen-Anhalt is very hard for us to do anything, actually, without having a lot of harassments by the authorities there. There's a lot of nice people. There's a lot of good people in Sachsen-Anhalt. There's a lot of amazing people who are trying to help refugees to adapt with their new home. But I really hope that the German government will look at what's happening in Sachsen-Anhalt with a lot of alert, because the Nazis are back. It's as simple as that. And they're just rebranded themselves. They're changing their names. But in my opinion, the only thing that's different between the current Nazis and the Nazis in the 30s is that in the 30s, they used to blame everything on the Jews. And now they're blaming everything on Muslims. Never again. It was a lesson that we all should have learned from World War II, from the experience with the Nazis. I really hope never again will be never again. I really hope nothing will happen again.
Diskutieren Sie dieses Thema auch mit den Deutschen in Deutschland, und was ist dann die Reaktion darauf?
Sometimes I do, when I feel like there's someone who is actually willing to listen and actually willing to talk. I try very respectfully to just express my fears, especially that I have been in conflict in a civil war. I've seen how bad things could be, how can things change in a very, very fast way. But to be honest with you, I talk more with people in Berlin than I can talk with people in Sachsen-Anhalt, because in Berlin people are more open-minded, more diverse. While in Magdeburg, unfortunately, like I said, the majority, especially of the votes, went to the AfD. So that should tell you something. I really hope people, before we make previous judgments, that we get the time to actually talk to each other. For example, one of my dearest friends, and actually a guy who helped me editing my memoir, is a Jewish American who is originally from Aleppo that I met in the United States. I'm Palestinian Syrian, and I'm also Muslim, and he's Jewish and he's American. But when we met in the States, we were talking about Syria and what's happening in Syria, and before we know it, we became friends, and we forgot about the things that make us different. And we only thought about the things that bring us together, that we both want freedom and we both want good things to happen for the people in the Middle East. I believe Palestinians and Israelis can live together in harmony. I believe anyone can live with anyone as long as we respect each other, as long as we don't hurt each other, as long as we take the time and the effort to just try to know each other. I think when we reach that point, a lot of the world problems can be solved.
Zurück nach Australien. Sollte Australien mehr für syrische Flüchtlinge tun, das heißt mehr ins Land lassen?
Like Australia is a big country. It's a very big country. And to be honest, I am surprised in a very good way about the kindness and the hospitality that I found since I arrived to Australia. I was in Perth, in Adelaide, now in Melbourne. Tomorrow I'm going to Sydney. And so far, I've seen nothing but kindness from the people. What happens is, unfortunately, we live in a time when the hate voices are amplified. They are giving big microphones. So people in Australia see refugees only as potential ISIS members or people who are trying to invade their country or steal their jobs. That's how, like in the same time, the radical groups like ISIS and Al-Qaeda use the international inaction to tell people that the West doesn't like you, doesn't care about you, and that's how they manage to recruit people. Nazis and extremists feed on each other. They use hate to divide people and control them and gain power. I hope that Australian people will first make an effort to try to know who the refugees are and why did they leave. I hope they will understand that those people, refugees, love life more than anyone else. Otherwise, they wouldn't risk everything they have to cross borders and get drowned in the sea and get shot at in the borders and be treated like animals just to find a good chance of living for them and for their children. I hope the Australian people will vote for people who are willing to accept others and to help others, and not to vote for people who wants to isolate them and turn Australia into a police state or something like this. Don't let the hate overcome love. Don't let crazy people tell you that the only way for you is to shut down your borders against refugees. I hope the Australian people will do something, because to be honest, I lost faith with governments a long time ago. I've been trying to convince governments, rather the US government or the German government or other governments, to do the right thing in Syria. I really hope the Australian people will take the privilege of having a vote and do the right thing with this vote.
Auf der Suche nach einem guten Kinderbuch? Wertvolle Tipps finden Sie im Podcast Abenteuer lesen. Jede Woche neu.